Hello and welcome to another Linguistics Career Cast, the podcast devoted to exploring careers for linguists outside academia. I'm your host, Laurel Sutton. This episode is an audio version of a virtual panel held at the Linguistics Career Launch in the summer of 2024. The video of this presentation is available at the Linguistics Career Launch YouTube channel. Links to the presentation materials and to other resources mentioned are in the show notes. This episode of Linguistics Career Cast is generously sponsored by Amazon Science. This episode is an audio version of a virtual panel held at the Linguistics Career Launch in the summer of 2024, titled Informational Interviews. The presenter is Alex Johnston, who is Director, Master's Programs and Career Management in the Georgetown University Department of Linguistics. Informational interviewing is the key way to learn about jobs of interest, what jobs might be a good fit or not, and finding out what's out there beyond the informational available on the internet. It's an effective research tool, but it's important to do it right. In this presentation, you can learn how to use your research skills in service of your own job search. The presentation covers topics such as what an informational interview is, who to contact, how to contact them, which questions to ask, and how to maintain the connections you've made for the long term. Topics discussed include informational interviews, professional relationships, networking, career preparation, job research, community building, career learning, career discernment, and interview etiquette.
This is session 3 out of 5 career management sessions that I'm presenting here for the Linguistics Career Launch. Quickly about myself, I'm a faculty instructor of career management for linguists for the past 6 years, which is a semester-long course I teach at Georgetown University. I offer it to both graduate students and undergraduate majors in linguistics. And it's a way to practice career management with a lot of intensive practical exercises and work to get people ready to enter the job market in different sectors: business, government, nonprofit, tech, media, all of the diversity of career pathways that are potentially open to people with linguistics training. I've also worked for the past 15 years or so as a global talent development consultant. So I deliver professional development training to corporate, government, nonprofit, and higher ed clients. And I love informational interviewing. I have done them and I give them and I encourage other people to do them. So let's talk about how you can use this research tool for career discernment and career management. This is our agenda for today, and we're going to lead up into a question that's come up many times before in our sessions together. How can networking and informational interviewing, they're so related, how can these contacts with people potentially lead to authentic and ongoing relationships? I will be covering that in my last slide, showing you how you can move from an initial contact to what could potentially be a useful and productive and mutually beneficial professional relationship. First of all, what is an informational interview? It's a relatively informal conversation, which doesn't mean you don't prepare, with someone in a position, organization, or career area of interest to you. And it's a chance for you to seek career information or advice from somebody with experience and knowledge in your areas of interest. If you're asking somebody to do an informational interview, it's usually about 20 to 30 minutes. It doesn't mean it can't go longer, but that will be at your interviewee's discretion. But initially asking for a period of time of about 20 to 30 minutes is kind of normal in the US. And yes, in the US, in professional circles, this is a common and accepted practice. So people know about this. This is a named genre of interaction. So you can rely on the fact that most people who work outside of academia will have heard this term and will have made use of this genre in their own careers and likely will continue to do so. So it's a thing. It's a real thing. what it is not. This is quite important to differentiate from other genres. It is not asking for a job. It is not trying to learn about open positions in your interviewee's organization. So if you start what you call an informational interview with something like, I'm thinking of applying to X position in your organization that's open right now, that goes against the accepted etiquette of these interviews, and it leads to awkwardness between you and your interviewee, because it's not a chance to put your interviewee on the spot. It often about potential open positions or what might be open in the future. That's for them to bring up if they decide to. But this can lead to an awkward situation where your interviewee might say something like, oh, if you're thinking of applying, then just go ahead and apply. Or they might say, I'm not on the hiring committee. I can't help you with that. In addition, organizations often have policies that are either explicit or implicit that discourage or keep people, current employees, from interacting with people who are thinking of applying or potentially applying or who have an open application at that organization. So this is something that you don't want to do. And I've had some students who have led with this, and it's led to difficult situations. So you should not have an open or an active application at that organization where your interviewee works. Why do them? Well, this is a chance to learn, to research, to explore. If you have already reframed networking as something that you like to do because you love research and you love learning and you have curiosity about what's out there, this is a great way to indulge one-on-one, which is also good for introverts who often like these one-on-one interactions more than a group interaction, and to learn about all these possibilities. As linguists, we're often trained to do different types of qualitative interviews, maybe sociolinguistic interviews, maybe cognitive interviews, semi-structured interviews. So it's a chance to also use part of your own linguistics training, but as a research tool for your own life, which I think is exciting. So you can draw on your linguistics background in your career discernment. You find out about possibilities you never knew existed. We don't know what we don't know. We have to tap into that knowledge that's out there. We can find out specific relevant information about the realities of working in a given position or organization or sector from somebody who is in it. So you're not relying on somebody who's removed from that situation. You're drilling down and learning from somebody who's doing these things. And you could start a professional relationship that could potentially be long-lasting and supportive. So in essence, one of your best research methods for career exploration and a way to build community, because we need people to help us in this process of career discernment. So who should you interview? You are here. You're this little sun in a vast universe. No, you're not alone though. You're not an island. You have a lot of first degree connections, people you actually know and who are close to you, friends, family, colleagues, teachers. You want to get to second degree connections. Feel free to talk to first degree connections who you really don't, you've never opened a career conversation with before. You've never talked to them specifically about their jobs and learned about them. Maybe you have an uncle who was in the Peace Corps, or a friend who went into market research in a pharmaceutical company. This is your chance to learn from your first degree connections things that you may not know about their work because you haven't talked about work. But then you want to get to those second degree connections, alumni of your university, referrals from your inner circle, people you don't know, but you share some sort of mutual connection or other affiliation. These are those weak ties, as some people call it. People who have knowledge that and experiences that are different from you. And then expand outwards, get referrals from those second degree connections. Reach out to people in your LinkedIn network who you may not know, but save that for further down the line. let's get comfortable with the process first before we start reaching out with cold emails or cold LinkedIn messages. We can talk about how to do that. So really you want to dive into the diversity of experience that you don't have direct contact with. That's how you're going to learn. That's how you're going to really find out if there's a job out there that may be a good fit or may not be a good fit, and get exposed to possibilities. But if you're like my students, you might be nervous or hesitant about starting. And I totally get that. And it's something you have to really make yourself do. I assign this as a homework assignment for my students in career management class. They have to do 4 to 5 informational interviews over the course of a semester. And almost to a person, that's what makes them very anxious. And it's what they have to be led into and encouraged to do. And by the end of the semester, they get to a point where they say, I didn't realize how useful this would be. It really is true. It really is helpful. And I think I've gotten over that initial hump of anxiety. It's all about building a habit. So to get started, start in that inner circle to build comfort and confidence in just asking questions about work. Sometimes we're just not comfortable asking questions about work, or we don't know what to ask. And I have a lot of suggestions for you. Don't worry. Then move on to those alumni from your institutions and referrals from people you know. Alumni are amazing. The Georgetown alumni community has never let me down. I draw on that community a lot to connect my own students with graduates from the linguistics department and other programs at the university and connect them so that students can learn about different opportunities in the working world. And alumni so often, 99% say yes to these types of interactions. Really, they so want to help students or people in transition because they remember well making that transition themselves into the working world and changing jobs and how difficult that can be. And once you have a bridge person, a referral from someone you know, that also gives a sense of comfort. You know, somebody else is pushing you to meet someone or offering to make an email introduction. And that can increase the chances that your second degree connection could say yes to an interview because you share that mutual. And then keep exploring outwards in these concentric circles of social networks, and you might feel like you're starting to get the hang of it. You're building comfort with discomfort and building a new habit and hopefully reducing that discomfort interview by interview. With some people, it happens after 2 or 3. Others, it may take longer, but the key is to do it. So do it with correct preparation or proper preparation. Reach out after doing your research and introduce yourself briefly. So yes, you do have to make a bit of a pitch, but it can be very brief. State why you're reaching out to them in particular. Maybe you have that bridge person. And say something like this, perhaps. You can use this to adapt to your own purposes. I wonder if you'd have about 20 to 30 minutes to have an informational interview about getting started as a user experience researcher for someone like me with a background in XYZ. Offer them specific days and times in the upcoming weeks and offer to look further out. Some students and people that I have coached in the past have felt that it's most polite to say, what time would work best for you? But sometimes this can cause more problems. When you are reaching out to a busy person, it can take more cognitive effort and mental energy to just figure out, how can I work this into my workflow? There are so many possibilities. Don't put the burden of selecting on that person. Provide some specific days and times. Take care of all the logistics and be flexible. If you are asking for their time, it's a bit of a favor. So if they respond with times and dates that work for them, try to be flexible. I remember one situation where I was going back and forth with a student who had asked to interview me, and I lost track after about 13 emails, 14, 15 emails about trying to settle on a time because it was always bad for the student. And I eventually couldn't keep after it. Try to be a bit flexible when you're asking somebody else for their time. And here's a sample invitation for somebody that you don't know. Dear Ms. Schwartz, this is short for Reva Schwartz, who's an amazing linguist that you can get to know through LinkedIn. I hope you're well. I'm a rising senior at Georgetown University, majoring in linguistics. After I graduate, I'd like to find a role in responsible tech and AI ethics. My professor, Dr. Alex Johnston, recommended that I reach out to you since you have a background in linguistics and now work as a PI on bias and artificial intelligence at NIST. Dr. Johnston sent me the AI risk assessment framework that you and your team published. And I really appreciated reading it. I'd like to learn more about socio-technical testing and evaluation of AI and how you transitioned to this area. Do you possibly have about 20 minutes for an informational interview by Zoom about your work? In the month of August, I'm flexible after 12 on Monday, Wednesday, Thursdays. I'd be grateful if you might have a few minutes during that time frame, or please let me know another time that might work better for you. Thanks so much. And include a LinkedIn so that Reva could look you up quickly and see what's in your background. So here's an example that you can use and adapt for yourself based on your own interests. And let's continue to prepare. Learn about your interviewee, anything about their digital presence that you can glean. Learn about the organizations where they've worked. So if you haven't heard of NIST before, look it up. Look up the section where Reva Schwartz works. Learn just a bit about it. You can do some preparatory research here. Learn something about the field or the organization or sector. Try not to ask anything that's immediately discoverable. It's your chance, your valuable chance to talk with a person and get their experiences and learn what you can't discover through an online search. So here's an example here of how you might want to drill down a bit about somebody's personal experience so that they can talk about the specifics in their work and their organization. And then you want to select and prioritize your questions. Your last question is always going to be this. Based on what you know about me and my interests, who else is someone I should speak with? This is how you're going to grow your network. And this is how you're going to drill down on areas that might be potentially fruitful for you or interesting and close off other areas, perhaps. But this is how you branch that tree of networking by asking the person you're interviewing to give you one or two other suggestions of people to connect with. So try to have that be your final question so that you can prepare the way for more networking and grow this beautiful tree. Ask them out of politeness, is it all right if I use your name as a bridge person? Some people may or may not want to. So this is polite to ask them this. Now, getting into the questions. Here is a resource for you. It's an informational interviewing best practices and etiquette guide that I've developed over 6 years of teaching informational interviews and networking techniques. And it's a work in progress, but it's going to be part of a book I'm writing. And I would love to see your questions and comments on this document as a way to make this chapter in the book better for you, my potential audience, I hope. If you want to leave comments, please do so on that document and feel free to ask me about it. This is going to give you some examples of questions and go over some of the information that's in the slides. So what I tried to do in that document is to taxonomize the questions, to impose some categories on them. So for example, questions to start with and build rapport. So first of all, remind them of who connected you or how you learned about them. That can create some quick rapport. Try to create a co-membership link, as Fred Erickson talks about in The Counselor as Gatekeeper. This is some aspect of social identity, interest, or affiliation that you share. So build on those links, build on the fact that you both were Peace Corps volunteers, or you're both majored in Japanese, or you both went to you know, Dickinson College. Find something that you share in common. And, you know, ask them, how did you get your first job? Ask them about their career pathway and their experiences to draw them out and start talking about what they know best themselves. We hope. Other categories of questions, questions about their work. A lot of people recommend starting out with something like, could you describe a typical workday for me? I found that you might get better answers by asking something that's more specific, like what parts of your job do you find most rewarding, most challenging? What are you working on now that you're excited about or you're proud of? A lot of people turn off when you ask about what's a typical workday, and they say, oh, well, you know, I don't know. I don't have a typical workday. And then it becomes about them trying to answer that frame of a question. And it can be difficult for a lot of people. Ask about their responsibilities, ask about how their work fits into the overall work of the organization or the discipline or the sector. Talk about workflow, busy times of year. That can lead into questions about organizational culture, the lifestyle. You know, do you have to travel a lot in this line of work? Do you have a lot of overtime? If you're in the nonprofit sector and you're an events coordinator, what is your life like when you are executing an event? Ah, it could be 24/7. So try to suss out, you know, from the person who knows what that workflow is like and whether it might fit with what you want. Ask them, based on what you know about me so far, considering people you've met in your line of work, what skills or attributes are essential for success? How might I fit in, given that you know I love to work on a variety of projects with multiple timelines, or given that you know I really want to work on my own work and not interact with a lot of people? Drill down on skills and expertise. What training would you recommend I continue on with if I want to become knowledgeable about this sector and provide skills that are useful in this sector? What resources should I read about with respect to responsible tech or ethical AI? Should I get involved with the All Tech is Human network? Yes, check it out. It's a real network. And there's a university section within that network that universities engage with and students engage with. Do you have meetups that I could attend? Do you recommend I go to these meetups? Talk about skills and get to salary. What is the earnings potential if I enter this field? Try to talk real numbers, but just don't make it personal to the person you're interviewing. Not a lot of people are eager to be put on the spot about what they personally make. But in general, to ask about salary ranges is very useful. Are frequent moves among organizations necessary to move up in position and responsibility? In a large organization, maybe not. In the nonprofit sector, it might be necessary to move around from organization to organization in order to get increasing responsibility. And then your strong point, as an introvert, your strong point is going to be your follow-up. Thank them. Mention something specific about that interview. Include the follow-up actions that you'll take. I'll make sure to email so-and-so whom you recommended to me. You know, thank you for letting me use your name. Or I've already looked up this organization or this network. I've already reached out to All Tech is Human. Be brief, be grateful, and send it as soon as you can. Now, how can we keep these relationships going in a way that's authentic and not weird? So you've had that first touch point, you've met at a conference, you've met at a mixer, you've met at this LCL together. Now what? For that second touch point, so by touch point, I mean something that is, you know, a digital outreach, it's email, it's LinkedIn, or any other kind of in-person meeting. You want to remember that first meeting. It's good to remind them of that first meeting, especially if it's been longer than a few days or weeks. Mention something specific or useful that they said or did in that first interaction. Express gratitude. And then for future touch points, here are five ideas of what you can do. Tell them that you took action on something that they gave you advice on or resources they connected you with, and tell them how it worked out for you. Express your gratitude. People love to hear that something specific that they told you actually made an impact or made a difference or led you to a breakthrough. Tell them that. It's not often that people take the time to reach back out and say, your advice helped me, or I really appreciated that we met and talked about X. It changed my thinking about going into ethical AI. Let them know that they introduced you to someone or they acted as a bridge person and that interaction went well. Include a detail about what you learned in that interaction and how you'll move forward. People love to hear that connections worked out. Tell them when you've experienced a milestone, and it could be a milestone of many different types that might be relevant for them to hear. So maybe you finished your degree program, or you accepted a job offer that's related to something you spoke to them about. You moved, so you're in a new geographical area and, you know, trying to set up your local network. This is often when you tell people that you've moved, it's impetus for them to say, oh, you're in, you know, Champaign-Urbana now. I know a lot of linguists who've graduated from the University of Illinois, or that's where I went to school. I can hook you up with so-and-so who's a faculty member, or so somebody who's working at Wolfram Alpha. So let people know when you've moved. Let them know when you come across a resource that might interest them. You can give back in this way. Knowing what you know about them, if you read a book or an article or see a Medium article online, send it to them and say, this made me think about you and our discussion about X. Finally, you hear something good about them. Maybe they published a book or an article and you read it and you tell them, I loved it. I really loved what you wrote about X. Be specific. Express that support or interest. Probably express gratitude again. I'm really focusing on this because it makes such a difference in people's lives. And it's good to spread around that good feeling. It ends up coming back to you and you become known as a person who does that. And it'll help. It'll help later when you have an ask to make, when you want to ask them again, you know, now that I'm in this new position, I'm finding out that I want to, you know, learn more about a different area. And I know that you've had experience there. Or could you introduce me to so-and-so? So try to keep the ratio of these, you know, positive touch points to asks large. You want to send out, you know, you don't want every touch point to be an ask or a favor or an obligation. Am I bothering people? This is what a lot of people say when they're thinking about reaching out for informational interviews. But remember that one polite inquiry and a follow-up if you don't hear anything is fine. That's professional, especially if you have a bridge person. And you do have things to offer that interviewee. Respect through your careful preparation. Engaged listenership, really listening to what they're saying, and not focusing on what you'll say next. Your thoughtful inquiries. Your requests for advice. A lot of people love to give it. And it's giving them a chance to give back and to help others as they were helped. Because all of us have experienced a helping hand, I hope. And most of us would like to return that and help others. So it's this virtual circle that you're giving them an opportunity to engage in. And if you don't hear back or your invitee says no, most of the time, don't take it personally. I mean, all of the time, don't take it personally. Use that as your first go-to, because a lot of people are just so busy. I know I felt very guilty when I haven't gotten back to people who sent out lovely inquiries. And there's been a time or two that I haven't been able to say, you know, I'm so sorry, I just can't do this right now. And I have always hoped that those people didn't take it personally. It's really, It was me, not them. But also reach out for feedback from a trusted source if it was perhaps something you said or did. So when I've learned from somebody that, you know, I had a really awkward interview. I don't know what went wrong. It kind of went south when I said, I'm wondering if I should apply for the open position at your organization. All right. Please feel free to connect with me at office hours later today through LinkedIn or my email. And I look forward to continuing this conversation. Please let me know some questions or reactions that you have. I'd love to hear from you. Oh, and I love this, just immediately seeing this in the chat as you're formulating your questions. I love hearing, I hadn't realized I'd done this before and it works. I got a communications internship out of it. I just treated it like a normal conversation because I didn't know it had a name. And that's lovely. I'm so glad you said that, because often you have done this before and it's a realization that you can engage in it intentionally. And perhaps you were intentional about it at the time too, but it's a way to realize that this is bigger, you know, it's a genre, it's a done thing. And, you know, it's often the case too. There's a continuum of these types of experiences. So sometimes a casual interaction can turn into something that feels like an informational interview. That's one of the lovely serendipitous things that can happen when you take the chance to talk to people about work. Yes, and Anna Marie, thanks. Building comfort with discomfort. It's something that I think we have to do in the career discernment process and in life in a lot of ways, that when we're building new habits, it's going to feel uncomfortable at first because it's new, because we're not used to it. And sometimes we have to sit in that discomfort and work with it and keep practicing, because eventually the more that you do it and the more positive feedback you get, the more that you can be encouraged to continue. And I see a question. Oh, hi, Anna Marie. Did you want to say something?
Well, I'm a fan of stories, so I'd love to hear anybody's stories about networking. And I'll share a quick one. So one of my first informational interviews, I decided to go back and interview an old boss just to practice. I thought it would be good to practice informational interviewing with someone who I knew. And it was my very first informational interview, and she offered me a job and I was not ready. And it never even occurred to me to be prepared for potentially being offered a gig. So that's a story and idea. Don't expect to be offered a job, but it could happen.
Yeah, it happens perhaps more than you think. I've had similar experiences where I've just been an interested volunteer in a program, and I've taken the chance to talk with the leader of that program and say, you know, I love volunteering with this program, and I have these ideas about what could make it even better from a volunteer's perspective. And I wonder if you've thought about this. And it's prompted a discussion that in one case led to a job offer of, hey, we need a volunteer coordinator and we need somebody to take this on. And it seems like you're interested. What can we do to make this happen? So this kind of serendipity comes out of these career conversations, as I think you call them, Anna Marie. And it's kind of this lovely mix of genres. You know, it can go from just interested conversation to talking about work, to an informational interview, to maybe an informal interview where it's like, hey, your interviewee thinks you might be right for this position. Could we talk about this further? And, you know, don't feel like you have to make a decision on the spot and say, yes, I'll take it. Or, oh, no, I'm not looking for it. Just sit with it. Say, oh, let's explore that. What would I need to know about this? How could we take this further? You know, draw that out and see what you can learn. Alfonso, I see you with your digital hand up.
I loved this, and I think something that I thought I wanted to share is related to the cultural components that you talked about at first, you know, when you're talking about this genre in the US. coming from, and I know that a lot of our participants actually come from very different backgrounds. And it was a very wild thing for me when I was actually trying to connect with people and ask them for informational interviews to understand that it is actually culturally acceptable. I've never had a situation where people actually told me, well, you know what, this is very unacceptable. It is true, people can tell you, well, I've said that myself sometimes. I'm extremely busy now. Like, I can just take this, like, maybe in September, and then, you know, situations like change or whatever. But it took me a while, and it takes me a while sometimes to understand that it's culturally okay to do that. And people are very happy to do it. You know, every time I've had the need or the interest to actually get to know what people do at specific positions, I reached out, and I've never had an answer like, oh, you know what, this is not acceptable at all. So I just wanted to stress that because, you know, coming from a very different background, that took me a while to understand. So thank you for bringing that up.
I so appreciate that you foot stomp that. This is a new, corporate military term I just learned. The size of point. With me. It's been in my head the past few days with this new client. And I love that you present your own perspective, because it is important for people from outside the US who are planning to work within the US environment, that yes, this is acceptable, culturally acceptable. And thank you for sharing that experience. Do you have any advice on keeping a good relationship with some people who interviewed you in a real job interview for future job opportunities, especially companies where you've interviewed for a number of rounds and know that you really like this place? So in this case, you've actually gone through an interview, multiple rounds, you've connected with people. And it's, of course, as with other job interviews, you've sent them a thank you note. So there's been something to say, thank you for your time. You know, I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And maybe you didn't get that job offer. That's still a chance to respond to that person if you hear official information that you don't have that job. You know, I'm still interested in opportunities with your organization, and I hope we might have a chance to, I hope our paths might cross again sometime. It's perfectly fine to remain positive and remain open to future possibilities. And perhaps you've even connected with that person through LinkedIn, and you can kind of follow their activity and reach out when it's appropriate. Maybe you notice that they have, put out a post on LinkedIn that's particularly resonant. So you respond to the post, you comment on the post, you share the post. There are ways to interact online that show connection with that person, and they'll notice that kind of interaction and feedback. So that can be a way to kind of keep a low level, low bar engagement going with people who have interviewed you in an official capacity. And sometimes I like to say, follow the person. People move so frequently in organizations, in different sectors, that you may not want to focus on a position, but instead focus on a person and where they go. So by that I mean, you can expect that they'll be moving around. And if you maintain this engagement with them, it's possible that when they're in a new organization with a new position, you might be top of mind for them for a particular opportunity. They might reach back out and say, hey, I know that time that, you interviewed for X at Y organization when we were hiring for that position. Well, now I'm in this new organization. We really need somebody like you who has experience in XYZ. Are you interested? Or can you refer me to somebody else? So follow the person, not the position. And you can follow people and stay engaged with them through that low-level digital interaction on LinkedIn, and as well as kind of a more personal outreach with LinkedIn messaging or email or other platforms that you might be connected on.
Alex, we've got a couple of questions that I think are kind of on the same theme. So one is about if you want to know about company or team culture, how do you approach the informational interview? And related to that is also, you know, talking about the downsides of a particular position or organization, if it's appropriate to address that in an informational interview. So maybe you could answer these questions together.
Yes, I think asking about organizational culture, there are a number of ways to suss that out, as to figure that out through questions. Questions like, you know, what are some management styles here? Is this a relatively flat organization? Is it hierarchical? How would you characterize the organizational structure? How would you characterize how teams work together in this environment? How much autonomy do you have in your role on this team or in this division? When you ask those kinds of questions, it's an opening for that other person to say something about, you know, if they say something about management style that, you know, it's very hierarchical. You know, my manager is always, you know, requires frequent check-ins. We have to have weekly meetings. I have to report out every week. You can get a sense from those message level responses what is typical in that position or organization, but you can also sense from how they express that if that's, you know, if they evaluate it as good or bad. And then you can take that opportunity to say, is that something that works for me? What am I sensing from this person as far as how they relate to that organizational style or the amount of autonomy they have? So you can, you know, listen to those meta messages that come across about tone and about their evaluation of different aspects of working. Maybe for them, working on multiple projects at the same time with competing priorities on really quick timelines is, you know, dragging them down. But maybe for you, it sounds exciting and like something you'd like to explore. Maybe they're very straightforward and say, you know, we're really short staffed and there are a ton of dumpster fires, and you have to be aware of that walking into a situation like this. Keep an eye out for that. And you can get at asking about dumpster fires by not being explicit about it, but saying, you know, what challenges do you face in terms of, you know, deadlines or the type of, you know, extra time outside of work you're expected to engage in? What's challenging for you about working here? So that can be a diplomatic way to offer an opening for them to let you know, either straight out or in coded language of diplomacy, what the experience might be like in their position, in their organization, or overall in the sector. Grady, I see your hand up. Would you like to unmute?
Yeah, thank you. The change of kind of topic a little bit. I mean, first off, I really appreciate the different types of questions. I think that's really helpful for me as I think through what it is or how I want to prepare for informational interviews. I guess for like reaching or like growing and expanding my network, I've definitely seen that working a bit in my own. I feel like I'm very new in this, but it's been working. But there are several people, like leaders in the field, that I don't have connections with, like through a second degree connection. And I'm wondering if you have any advice for making those cold call emails, reaching out to them. In a way that is authentic, because really I just want to know more about this field and if it's right for me. Other than just saying, you know, hey, I'm Grady, I'm interested in what you do. Any suggestions for that?
Yeah, so I'm glad you're having success, you know, building your network. And when I hear, you know, reaching out to leaders in a specific organization or field, I might start first, if you could, with somebody who might be close to your level should you enter that field. So somebody who has experience kind of just joining that organization or field to find out their experience and their initial thoughts about what could have prepared them better or what they see ahead of them or how they're evaluating their experience so far. You know, I think I might be reading too much into it.
But I think maybe leader isn't.
Reaching out specifically to like the CEO of an organization or the director of a section might be a bit too much if you don't already have a bridge person or a first or second degree connection.
Right. I think I meant more like these are, I don't know, people who have a podcast or like people that have, you know, they have like some social network following. So leader in that sense, not like leader in a company.
Okay, great. But I do have an idea about how to reach out to leadership. But if for great specific example about somebody who has a podcast, tell them that you listen to their podcast, tell them about a specific episode that really spoke to you. Be specific rather than saying like, you know, huge fan, long time listener, first time LinkedIn messenger. Tell them something specific about what they're adding to the space and how you've used some of the information from the podcast in your life. I think people like to hear those sort of details and it can help make that connection. So you would be surprised, you know, reaching out to the author of a book or author of an article or somebody who leads a meetup or somebody who is, you know, leader of a network like All Tech is Human, which has had a meetup in DC just recently, to say that you've looked at what they've put out in the world, that you've responded to something and that you've used something is a great way to, you know, flatter them in a good way, in an authentic way, and to see if, you know, they might be willing to take that conversation, you know, into either a written form for a bit or to have a brief video chat or meetup. So I just would use like that authentic sense of gratitude that, you know, wow, what you're doing is so useful. Here's what I've done with what I've learned from you so far. And one of my favorite stories about cold outreach was, it's Brielle Nikoloff's story. And Brielle Nikoloff is a conversation designer who worked in a number of startups and currently is working in user experience research and voice user interface for Walmart. Somebody interesting to look up who had also training in linguistics at the undergraduate level. Actually, my outreach to her was pretty cold too, but her story is that, you know, she had been trying to find a job in voice interface and couldn't get through, was submitting applications, and then she wasn't hearing back. And she found the CEO of a startup in the Washington, D.C. area who had been, you know, writing and posting on LinkedIn and thought, you know, oh, this person is doing some very interesting things with creating applications you know, for Alexa and other voice assistants. And well, I, Brielle, wrote a paper in undergrad in my class with Kira Hall about how people swear at voice assistants and how they tend to curse out female gendered voice assistants more than male presenting gendered voice assistants. And she took the opportunity to just LinkedIn message this CEO and say, you know, I just have been following your posts and what you do is so fascinating in this growing field. There's just so much opportunity. And I wrote this paper in my undergrad linguistics class on this type of thing. I really want to, you know, engage in this space. And she got a response. She was just herself. She just put aside all kinds of, you know, seemingly professional facades and said, this is just something I'm so interested in. And what you're putting out and what you're doing in your work is really exciting to me. And here's something I tried to engage in. Here's my paper. And she was offered an internship. So that's a type of networking outreach. It wasn't at that point kind of an informational interview, but just kind of a you know, trying to think of the right word for it, just going for it. And it worked out. Sometimes just going for it doesn't work, but sometimes it shows somebody that you really have this interest and authentic personality that they respond to and want to help foster. Thank you so much, everyone. It was a pleasure. Hope to see you soon.
Linguistics Career Launch is an ongoing nonprofit project currently led by volunteers that works to educate students, faculty, administrators, and industry employers about the value of linguists in business, government, nonprofit, and tech. The LCL has held two online boot camps during which attendees were able to learn from and interact with career linguists, as well as gain practical experience in career management skills. Videos of all our recorded sessions are available on our YouTube channel. You can get in touch at linguisticscareerlaunch@gmail.com.